Yata as Mahan the Mahat Tattva. Aham Rupa, the false ego. Trivrit, the three modes of material nature. Pancha Vidaha, the five material elements. Swarat, the individual consciousness. Ekadasha Vidaha, the 11 senses. Tasha, of the living entity. Vapahu, the material body. Andam, the Brahmananda. The Brahmananda. Yeah, not Brahmananda means the happiness from Brahman, and Brahmananda means the universe, anyway. Jagat, the universe. Yataha, from which or from whom? Translation, from the total material energy, the Mahat Tattva, I have manifested the false ego, the three modes of material nature, the five material elements, the individual consciousness, the 11 senses, and the material body. Similarly, the entire universe has come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can repeat, from the total energy, the Mahat Tattva. I have manifested the false ego, the three modes of material nature, the five material elements, the individual consciousness, the 11 senses, and the material body. Similarly, the entire universe has come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. The Supreme Lord is described as Mahat Pada, which means that the total material energy known as the Mahat Tattva is lying at His lotus feet. The origin or the total energy of the cosmic manifestation is the Mahat Tattva. From the Mahat Tattva, all the other 24 divisions have sprung, namely the 11 senses, including the mind, the five sense objects, the five material elements, and then consciousness, intelligence, and false ego. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of the Mahat Tattva, and therefore, in one sense, because everything is an emanation from the Supreme Lord, there's no difference between the Lord and the cosmic manifestation. But at the same time, the cosmic manifestation is different from the Lord. The word Swarat is very significant here. Swarat means independent. The Supreme Lord is independent, and the individual soul is also independent. Although there is no comparison between the two qualities of independence, the living entity is minutely independent, and the Supreme Lord is fully independent. As the individual soul has a material body made of five elements and the senses, the Supreme Independent Lord similarly has the gigantic body of the universe. The individual body is temporary. Similarly, the entire universe, which is considered to be the body of the Supreme Lord, is also temporary. And both the individual and universal bodies are products of the Mahat Tattva. One has to understand the differences with intelligence. Everyone knows that his material body is developed from a spiritual spark. And similarly, the universal body has developed from the supreme spark, super soul. As the individual body develops from the individual soul, so the gigantic body of the universe develops from the supreme soul. Just as the individual soul has consciousness, so the supreme soul is also conscious. But although there is a similarity between the consciousness of the Supreme Soul and the consciousness of the individual soul's consciousness is limited, whereas the consciousness of the Supreme Soul is unlimited. This is described in Bhagavad Gita, Kshetra Gyam Kyapi Mam Viti, Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, text 3. The super soul is present in every field of activity, just as the individual soul is present in the individual body. Both of them are conscious. The difference is that the individual soul is conscious of the individual body only, whereas the supersoul is conscious of the total number of individual bodies.
Yatamahannaham rupas trivrit panchavidha svarat ekadasha vidastasya vapurhandam jagat yataha.
Somagana timidandasha gananjana shlakaya chakshur unmiritam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So here in Srila Prabhupada's purport, we find not only a description of the different elements within the material world. In one sense, that's called Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya means to analyze all the different elements, you know, the active senses. When we're talking about the 11 senses, actually, we're talking about the active senses and the perceptive senses. You understand? So it's active, like sense of locomotion, and the anus and the genital and the mouth. These are all active senses. And the perceptive senses, you know, the touch and the, the skin is the perceptive sense and the touch is the object of it. You know, the form is the object of that. So then there's the senses and the objects of the senses. Anyway, so this is called Sankhya philosophy, in which the Sankhyite or Sankhya yogi will actually analyze all these different things. And it's important for us to understand these different things, not to the same degree the Sankhya philosopher would understand, but you know, we should understand what the three modes of material nature are. Krishna spends quite a bit of time in the Bhagavad Gita analyzing different, you know, activities according to the three modes, determination according to the three modes, and faith according to the three modes, and all these other things, renunciation according to the three modes. So it's important for us to be able to identify the modes so that we can understand what mode we're in, whether we're actually transcendental or not. It's actually interesting. It's actually very important to be able to be a little introspective. Therefore, the sage is called the introspective sage. It's not that we're mainly meant to tell other people you're in ignorance. That's not the point. The point is actually to be with ourselves, find fault with ourselves, and say, hey, I'm being influenced by ignorance. And then if you know you're being influenced by ignorance, what's the solution? The solution is to associate with, you know, higher qualities, especially transcendental qualities. Like Krishna says in the Gita, the cause of our entanglement is karanam aguna sangasya sadasa janma jonishu. The cause of it is association. And the cause of liberation is also association. In other words, whatever you associate. That's why Prabhupada, in the beginning, he gave us all the list of things, do-nots or donuts, as Prabhupada would describe them. You know, we don't eat food cooked by non-devotees. You know, and devotees would think, well, you know, why is that? You know, and then the devotees would go to the donut shop or the do-not shop, which is right next door to the temple. Then when Prabhupada would walk by, they would all slump in their chair so that Prabhupada wouldn't see them, you know. But they're the ones who are being hurt. I mean, they're, you know, Prabhupada is just giving us the instruction for our own benefit. You know, sometimes we think when someone gives us instruction, hey, they're just being a big boss, you know, they just want to control us. But actually, when a loving parent, especially the spiritual master, gives an instruction, it's for your benefit, not for his benefit. He's already with Krishna. Why does he have to give the instruction? He's only giving the instruction. You know, in the material world, of course, people give instructions because they want to control you, right? They have this concept, Ishwara, Aham, Aham, Bogi, Siddho, Ishwara, I'm the Ishwara. I like to control people. It's like it's nice to see there's a temple president who likes to control the devotees like chess pieces on the chessboard, you know. Here's a queen, here's a knight, here's a pawn, and you move them here and there. Anyway, so yeah, so we do like to control things, even we like to control. That's why people, we mentioned the other day, people like to get pets. At least they can control their pets. And the pets love them. Nobody else does. So, but the pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada, he's simply giving instructions for your benefit. He has nothing to gain personally from it, except, you know, the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But you know, it's for you. He's telling you, don't eat food cooked by non-devotees. And of course, the devotees think, well, I did that when I was a young devotee. But now I know better, or I'm more advanced. But the problem is that this principle of karnam guna sangasya sadasat jatma jonishu, association with the modes of nature, works very well. And, you know, you, just like I notice sometimes I'm reading the news and I read about something that's obnoxious, and then jayato vishak pulsam sangostesha bhajayate, you know, then you start to meditate on it, become attached to it, and associate with a particular conception, and it pollutes the mind. You know, like Prabhupada also talked about reading newspapers. Of course, I do read, not newspapers, but I read CNN anyway, so I can know what's going on in the world. I think it's important that I know who the President of the United States is. You know, or, you know, that the Twin Towers of New York have been hit. You know, it's important that I know that, knew that. And don't find out about 25 years later, you know. So there's certain things, but we have to be really cautious. You know, we're dealing with the material energy. Obviously, you know, the devotees are going out, devotees are buying boga, devotees are working, making money. But it has to be done very, very cautiously, like a razor's edge, because if you slip, you couldn't get cut. So anyway, the modes of nature. So it's really important to understand the symptoms of the modes. Otherwise, Krishna would not spend time talking about in Bhagavad Gita. He would just say, you know, transcend all these things. He would just end Bhagavad Gita with the last verse, not the last verse, but, you know, the actual essential item of Bhagavad Gita, which is Sarvadhamam Prajaja. So instead, he has all the other things, and you got to learn all the things in the Bhagavad Gita so that you know how to deal with the material energy. You know that this is supreme souls in your heart, Vishwara Sarvabhutanam and Radesha Arjuna Tishtati. Brahmanyan Sarvabhutana Yantra Rudani Mayat, that he's directing the wanderings is in your heart, he's giving you intelligence, remembrance, forgetfulness, Matat Smritir, Gyanam Aponam Cha. You got to know all these things. Or else you're not going to become transcendental. You know, of course, if you're absolutely on the spiritual platform, you know, and you've already transcended the modes, Bhamchiyo, Vyabhichanina, Bhakti, Yogena, Sivate, Sagunan, Samadhu, Chaitan, then you don't have to know any of these things because, you know, you're immersed in your Leela with Krishna, but I'm not, so I have to know all these things. Anyway, so therefore, this Sankhya is mentioned here by Krishna, but the essential item in Sankhya is Aham Sarvasya Prabhuho. Matak Sarvam Pavartate, as Krishna states in the first verse of the nutshell verse of the Bhagavad Gita, 10:8. Everybody knows the verse? No, you don't. Important verse? No? 10th chapter, Bhagavad Gita? Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. That I, that's aham, Sarvasya all, Prabhava, the emanation, I'm the source of the emanation for everything. In other words, as Prabhupada said, when you're sitting on a chair, you see, you know, in one sense, I'm sitting on Krishna. Krishna's energy, obviously, we understand. Another point is the Chinchaveda Veda Tattva philosophy, one and different from Krishna. But it's Krishna's. This body is Krishna's. In one sense, it's Krishna, but it's actually Krishna's property, to be more precise. That we understand, because in the 15th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha, that's how you get out of the material world. Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha vyapma nitya vinivritta kama dvandvari muktara sukaduka samgai gachanchi muda paramaviyam tat. If you want to get out of the material world, you understand that, you know, nothing's yours, be free of false prestige. You know, don't worry what people think of you. You know, I always get this question, how do you become free from worry about what people think of you? And of course, one answer is if you're preaching, you should be worried because it's part of your, you know, because no one will listen to you if people think you're a jackass. like Lord Chaitanya said for a sannyasi, you know, a spot, there's a white sheet, you know, hurts his preaching. So we do worry about that, but not personally for our service. You know, we are worried about what people think of us. But anyway, so ultimately, it can be like Lord Rishabhadev, who we mentioned the other day, who did this yada yoga, you know, who didn't give a damn what people thought about him. Isn't it? People were just like passing air in front of him, throwing dirt at him. And ultimately, we have to have this detachment, this nirapeksha, which we mentioned the other day. So, nirana moha jita sangha dosha. be free. There's that statement again. Jita Sangha Dosha, being freed from bad association. Same thing we just mentioned before, you know, Karnam Guna Sangasha. So Jita Sangha Dosha, be freed from bad association. Jita Sangha Dosha Avyatma Nitya Vinivritta Kama, being freed from kama and established in the eternal. Dandvar Vimuktar, and be liberated from what? Vimuktar Dvandvar, from dualities of the material world, like Sukha and Dukkha. This is also what's been mentioned in the previous verses, you know, neutrality, not being attached. Lord Kapila Dev has also talked about this previously. Sukha Dukkha Sangya, known as happiness and distress. Be neutral. Gachanchama, if you're in that state, Gachancha Amudha. Mudha means to be like an ass or bewildered. One who reaches the state of being unbewildered, Padamavyam Tat, he can actually go, you know, back to the spiritual world. So anyway. So therefore it's important to understand these things. And ultimately to understand that Krishna aham sarvasya prabhavo, that Krishna is the source of emanation from everything. And when you understand Krishna owns everything, is meant to be used for his service, Isha, that's a conception Prabhupada gave. Isha. That's all right, it's another $100 donation for the deities. Isha Vasha Midam Sarvam Yagincha Jagajam Jagat, isn't it? That's the Isha Vasha conception which Prabhupada talked about. Tena Chaktena Bunjita Mahagridha Kasha Svidanam, everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord. Isn't it? That's a very important verse that Prabhupada would quote too, called the Ishavasha conception. So, anyway, so once one understands all these things, Hamsavasya Prabhupada, Matak Sarvam Pravartate, everything comes from me. Iti Matva Bhajanti Mam. This person will actually begin to not just worship me, but love me with, you know, worship me with love. I mean, the word worship in English is not the good translation for the word bhaja or bhajate. Bhajate means more than just like do worship, do a little puja. It's time for puja. Not puja, puja means stool, but puja means to worship. Anyway, so this is a very important verse. It's first of the nutshell verses in the Bhagavad Gita. When one understands that, that everything comes from Krishna, everything is owned from Krishna, then you can imbibe the concept of what Prabhupada calls swarat here. This is also mentioned in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna is also completely independent from the whole thing, and Krishna is in the spiritual world. What is it? Goloka evi nivasati akilatma buddha. He never leaves Goloka Vrindavan, and he's having a good time there in Goloka Vrindavan. Once you actually, then you can actually enter into the Goloka conception. The Goloka conception, of course, not just the conception, but the Goloka consciousness, is to even forget that Krishna is God. I mean, this is beyond us, of course, beyond me at least, because I don't want to forget that Krishna is God. I'll be in trouble. So even to forget that Krishna is God, that he's Jagannath. You forget that Krishna is Jagannath. And Jagannath literally means God, you know. Jagat, Nath. Nath means like the control. Like the husband is supposed to be called Nath by the wife. Did you know that? There's different words. Because you can't say that in America. You could be in big trouble. So different words. The husband is supposed to be called Swami, like Master, Prabhu, Nath. Anyway, not hey you, you know. Hey, buddy, you know. Anyway, this is an Avedic conception. You know, forget about it. We're in America. So Jagannath means the husband or the lord of the universe. So in the spiritual world, they're actually forgetting that Krishna is Jagannath. That's actually funny. And they just understand he's Krishna. He's just a rascal. Just like I was reading the other day about Krishna being a rascal. Krishna is so much a rascal. We mentioned the other day the story about how when Krishna was chastised by Mother Yashoda, tied to the grinding mortar. Then what happened? Is that Krishna, after this whole thing of knocking down the trees, Krishna refused to deal with Mother Yashoda anymore for a while because he was so fried out. He said, you know, she's cruel. Nanda Maharaj, you take care of me from now on, right? You heard that story? And so, and then the other day I was reading this other story about Krishna. It's just so wonderful in the spiritual world. You know, at the same time we can hear these things, but we have to balance it with the conception that Krishna is Jagannath. You know, so it's really interesting. Prabhupada's presented both of these aspects to us. This philosophical aspect, and then you have Krishna book and Krishna's pastimes, which show us the goal of where we're going. But we, at this point, we have to keep our feet in both worlds. You know, if you keep your feet only in this, you know, that Krishna is Jagannath, and you forget about the spiritual world, then you're not really understanding Krishna. You're not thinking about your goal. And if you keep your feet only in the goal like that, then you're going to become a sahaja. So there's a, you know, there's a real dangerous thing. So anyway, so just tell a story. So there was this interesting story about Krishna. Of course, all the stories about Krishna. But so once upon a time, Krishna was having pastimes with Srimati Radharani. The normal pastimes, or extraordinary pastimes. And then Krishna is such a rascal. God, so let's say Jagannath, he's such a rascal that he decided to aggravate her. Krishna likes to, you know, just imagine a god that likes to aggravate his best devotee. You know, of course, you have that story that Prabhupada told from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how Krishna tried to aggravate Rukmini. And he told her what? He told her, you know, you still look young, you know, you married the wrong person. Nobody knows what caste I am. You know, you really blew it that you didn't marry Sishupal. So now you could start to look for another husband. Of course, just for Krishna saying that, it's so amazing because, I mean, it goes completely against the Vedic custom and the Vedic, and the Manu Samhita and all the Vedas, you know, the teaching of the Vedas. You know, here's a lady with grandchildren. And now look for another husband. Just like I was, one of the things I read about, you know, real polluting thing, was that in all these old people colonies in Florida, Florida's known for old people colonies. I'm not talking about Alachua. Maybe Alachua too, but anyway. Oh, they have these old people colonies that encompass like two or three counties in Florida. And the ratio of women to men is 10 to 1 or something like that. So, because the women have all killed off the men. But somehow or other, you know, the men worked hard. You know, anyway, women live on the average many more years than men. I mean, that's just statistic. And so these are places that now places have become romance, you know, imitation of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, where, you know, these 80-year-old people, you know, 80 and 90-year-old people who look like prunes with legs on them are having some sort of, you know, romantic interlude. I mean, practically speaking, if you made a film about it, you'd be regurgitating just to watch it. But that, like Prabhupada said, you know, the sex desire just doesn't diminish with the age of the body. And then they have a whole black market in Viagra there. Everybody knows what that is. Because the doctors won't prescribe it for someone that old because it'll give them a heart attack. So there's so the police are coming in and raiding. they're raiding the old people's, you know, there's big communities. We're not talking about just an old home where people are just like, they're raiding them because they're not allowed to have Viagra at that stage. and the police are arresting them, you know. So, get arrested for illicit drugs, you know. Sex drugs. So, I mean, it's just pretty amazing. Anyway, so I don't want to talk about that, but it shows how polluted. Yeah, amongst the octogenarians. So So Krishna was suggesting that basically to Rukmini. I mean, of course, she always looked young. She had the benediction, she was always young. But anyway, so always looked young. But she was great. She was a grandmother. She was like 80 years old, 80 years on the planet. You can get married. So obviously, Krishna wanted to make her angry. And then what happened is that she didn't get angry because that's not her mood. She just fainted. And then Krishna had to manifest two extra arms to catch her. That's the story in Krishna book. So Krishna, there's God enjoying making people agitated and cry. Pretty interesting. Or, even when Krishna was young, he would pinch little babies and make them cry. When their parents wouldn't keep the butter, so they could get the butter. Just pinch or pass urine on the floor. Huh? There's God. So there's Jagannath doing all these things. So I'd read another story that really inspired me. So Krishna was in Vrindavan and pastimes with Radharani. He just wanted to aggravate her. And so the way Krishna aggravates Radharani is that he says something about Chandravali. So he said something like to her that, "Oh, you're so nice, Chandra." Oh, and then he stopped himself. And Radharani got really angry. She said, "What did you say?" Because Radharani has a different mood than Srimati Radharani has a different mood than Chandravali or than Rukmini. Satyabhama has the same similar mood to Radharani because she's expansion. So Krishna said, "I was just saying, like the moon, it's beautiful like the moon, Chandra." And then she got really upset. "I know what you were saying." She just marched away like that. Like that. And then Krishna just was thinking. I mean, so amazing. This also shows how all of Krishna's energies, like described here, Krishna's independent, but his energies are actually, as Prabhupada describes, first-class servants of him. They do whatever he wants. So Krishna called for his internal potency. In the material world, of course, we have the external potency, which functions exactly the way Krishna wants. It's Vibharti Durga. It's like the shadow. It's a chaya. It's a shadow of the internal potency. Anyway, so what Krishna did at that point is he said to Vrindadevi, who was she's actually expansion of Yogamaya, the internal potency. Yogamaya is Purnamashi in the spiritual world. So anyway, they work together. Their team. So he said to her, "All right, you should arrange it immediately that I look like a woman. Give me some woman's clothes and do the arrangements." So Vrindadevi says, "Yes, sir." This actually shows, as I said before, why Krishna can be called independent, because his energies, Vishnu Shakti Para Prakto, Shaitra Kriyakrita, Pravidyakarma Sanganyantruti, Shakti Ishrute, they all are first class servants. They all do what he wants. First class servant, just to tell you what it is, does what the master wants even without being asked. Second class has to be asked. Third class does it, but with a bad mood. And 10th class doesn't do it at all. So at least we should be second class servants, which is we're asked. But the first class servant is someone like Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, who knows the mentality of the master and actually functions without being asked about it. Okay? So Vrindadevi, she just said, "Yes, sir," and so she arranged. So Krishna actually at that point had like white skin. Normally Krishna is sham, blackish, like the cloud. So Krishna, white skin, he looked a beautiful girl. And Vrindadevi said to Radharani, "You have to meet my friend, Nikunja Vasini, who is actually my sister. She's very beautiful," and so... It's really funny pastimes that are there. So then Srimati Radharani met this Nikunja Vasini, who was actually Krishna. Krishna in disguise. And she discovered who it was, and they were embracing. And then the gopis were saying, "Hey, this is a little unusual, two ladies having this relationship." Of course, nowadays it's not unusual, but at least in the spiritual world, that's not the norm. So then all of a sudden, all of a sudden, Jutila pops into the scene. And this actually happened. This is actually a full description of what happened at this Gauri Kund that we told the story when you go around. And so what happens? Jatila says, "I see Krishna's peacock." You know, Krishna has a pet peacock, and I see Rangani, who is Radharani's pet deer. I see Rangani, I see Krishna's pet peacock, and stay around. You know, you go to this place, Yavat, which we'll show on Sunday, in Braj, and that's where Radharani lived with her so-called husband, Abhimanyu, along with Jatila and Kutila. And there's deities of Jatila, Kutila, and Abhimanyu, and Jatila looks ugly as sin. I mean, we'll show that. I have pictures of those deities. Really interesting. So anyway, then Krishna, and then Jatila jumps into the scene. And, oh, Krishna, I'm going to get Abhimanyu. So she comes back with Abhimanyu. But then Radharani gets real scared, and she falls down at Krishna's feet. Do something, do something. But actually, Krishna doesn't look like Krishna anymore. He looks like the goddess Katyayani, the goddess Gauri. And so they think that the goddess Gauri has actually come out from the deity. And then the goddess Gauri starts to speak and say, Abhimanyu, I hate to inform you, you're going to die in 2 days from now. You know, Kamsa's going to come and chop your head off. And they say, well, you know, why? Why is this? And the reason is, this is actually Rupa Goswami's writing. This is not just my invention or some Braj story. This is Rupa Goswami's from the Vidagdha Madhava. So anyway, so then Radharani, Krishna says, because you committed the offense, you've wanted to send Radharani out of Vrindavan to Mathura, so you're going to have to die. And then they promise, you know, oh, what can we do? And then they say, we'll never send her out again. We promise we'll always trust her. Always trust her. Actually, we know that she's always been chaste. She's never had any relationship with Krishna. We promise we'll never think any differently than that. Actually, the real problem has been this Sudama, one of the coward boys, who looks just like Radharani in a male form. It's interesting. Sridham is Radharani's brother. He's the older brother of Srimati Radharani. And Nangamanjari is the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. But Sudham is also related, and he looks exactly, you know, the same complexion, everything like that. So sometimes they even dress him up, and he looks like... he looks like Radharani. So what they say is that Krishna is hanging out with Sudham, who dressed like Radharani sometimes, and we think that he has a relationship with Radharani, but it's actually Sudham, and they're just trying to make fun of us. So we trust now. Don't worry, we trust. And then Krishna, in the form of Gauri, who they think is Gauri, says, all right, as long as you make that promise not to send her out. And then they all offer their obeisances. You know, then you have Jatila and Abhimanyu offering their obeisances to Gauri and touching her feet and everything like that. You know, so I don't want to go through all the details of the pastimes. But the point is, it's just, this is Vrindavan. I mean, this is actually the goal. So we have to keep this, the goal is to actually be absorbed in these particular pastimes. And I've recognized that. That's why Prabhupada gave us that Krishna book, even though we were unqualified to have the Krishna book, because he wanted us to be aware of where we're going, of the goal. And that's inspiring. You know, unless you know where you're going, you're not going to be inspired. If I have to drive from here to Los Angeles, I mean, it's a hellish drive. But if I'm thinking of where I'm going, you know, what I'm going to get at the end, you're going to be at Disney World, or, you know, you know, I don't know, or Disneyland. Oh, sorry. I'm thinking of Florida, Disney World, or, you know, this, or some, like, what is this, MGM, you know. What? La Brea Tar Pits. I've been there. Actually, one of the gurus in ISKCON, other gurus in ISKCON, took me on a tour of the La Brea Tar Pits. I won't mention his name. Let's read on Nandamars. But he said, here's the La Brea Tar Pits. Do you want to see them? And I said, no. We went for a walk in the La Brea Tar Pits. We took a Japa walk with him in the La Brea Tar Pits. What a crazy thing. So anyway, so you know, but if you're thinking of something really pleasant at the end, then life actually, even you could do all these austerities and you can practically do anything if you're thinking of something pleasant at the end. But if you're thinking, you know, when I die, then what's the use of Sankhya? What's the use of knowing that Krishna's in charge of everything? You know, it's just, huh? When I'm dead, I'm dead. I mean, who cares about anything? Just eat, drink, and be merry. So, but if you have this goal, so Prabhupada presented us the Krishna book so we could actually, that's where we're supposed to go. And in the CC also, it gives us this little taste of these things too. So that's why it's important to balance both things, okay? So you have some questions? Yes. He's an expansion of Krishna, but he never touches Radharani. I mean, he's not like... Yeah, he's an expansion of Krishna. And he's also a devotee, too. You know, a devotee who's serving Krishna. And Kutila and Jatila, they're actually important devotees who help spice up the pastimes. And there was another part of that story, too. Oh, yeah, yeah. That Krishna was first associating with Chandravale, who was an expansion of Radharani. And what happened is Chandravale's, the mother of her husband came, and she saw what was happening, and she said, "Stop, this is nonsense." And Radharani's associate said, "Thank God she's come." Because there, you know, there's these two parties in the spiritual world. They're actually Radharani's party and Chandravali's party. So they said, "It's great you come." I forget her name. It starts with a K. You know, Kojila or something like that. And I forget the name. But it's really funny, like the exchanges they have, the joking, you know, exchanges they have. They're just really so attractive. And every day when you wake up in the spiritual world, there's more of that fun, too. But in the material world, every day you wake up, unless you're engaged in Krishna's service, it's just like 16 tons. What do I get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't call me, because I...